So it is now 7:02, and we will call to order this meeting of the River Forest Sustainability Commission. I will now take the roll. Chairperson Simon. Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Lennon.
Here.
Commissioner Roberts. Commissioner Veazey. Student Commissioner Raitt. Student Commissioner Steerwalt. There being three voting members present, we do not have a quorum at this moment. This time we will go to public comment. We do have one individual who wishes to make public comment. Dan Hollenbach, is that correct? Yeah, if you want to come up to the podium just so we can record you, since this is all public record. Oh, that is the... You're called in for the audio, and then
you.
Yes.
Great. So, good evening. My name is Dan Hollenbach. I live at 610 Park Avenue, River Forest, Illinois. My wife and I, Tracy, have lived there for 20 plus years. We have three children and a couple dogs, cat, and really enjoy our backyard. Here today, I inquired the other day about noise pollution with the leaf blowers, and I've been following it in the paper on the North Shore. You know, I had this article for a while. I saved it. I'm sure you guys have going to start researching that. Is that correct? You're going to start looking into it? Is this the beginning of it, or have you talked about it in the future?
This is the very beginning of it. Obviously, there's been, this iteration. So Oak Park had recently passed their ordinance, and then it's added for later in tonight's discussion for us to discuss, and we can probably jump right into that topic right after this if we want, but yeah, want to give comments.
Okay, great. I guess we'll let your other commissioner settle in, right? Hi, Jeff. I was saying my name is Dan Hollenbach. I live here in River Forest for over 20 years, 610 Park. I'm here today to talk about the leaf blowers, noise pollution. I've been following this the last couple of years. I had the article in the Trib about the North Shore and their process, and, you know, it took them a while to get it right. And then Oak Park finally got theirs done as well. And I read that article. I think you could probably learn a lot from what they did. I mean, you don't really have to reinvent the wheel here. Just being here for 20 years, there's a couple of things that have happened. One is the machines got real powerful. I mean, they're real powerful. That means they're real loud. So the commercial guys, it's a no-brainer, right? They're coming in super loud because it's for their business, right? They're making money. And if the same guys that do Oak Park do a River Forest, right? So if they're under a ban to go clean, I think it should be a no-brainer for us to kind of match that. All right, so that's one part of it, right? The commercial use, can't blame them, right? They're in business, but it's the village's job to regulate noise pollution and do something about it. Or, you know, I'm not going to be able to enjoy my backyard the way I used to for the last 20 years because it is really insane. It's really, really loud all the time. Now the other factor. The other factor is residents, right? I'm not a big fan of putting regulations on residents. However, you know, people are now working from home a lot, right? So a lot of people are trying to enjoy their backyards a lot more than they used to. And they're also becoming, you know, hobbyists, right? And leaf blowing can be addicting. So people are taking these things and blowing all over the at crazy hours. And then, you know, I really dislike ever calling on neighbors or reporting neighbors or getting in any big fights. People should just have common courtesy. All right. So I'm not so big of a fan on regulating the residents of River Fords. But again, if you have ordinances that go in over time, I think that would be, you can figure all that out. But my main, I guess one thing that I'm really interested in, and I'm curious, because I'm not really following politics too much in the village, but a little bit, and this is the Sustainability Commission. Is that what you guys call yourself? So I'm a big, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Dan Buettner and Blue Zone Projects, National Geographic. Really, really cool stuff, right? So Blue Zone Projects work with communities to optimize public policies, social connections, and the places and spaces where people spend the most time, streets, parks, schools, workplaces, grocery stores, faith communities, homes, to help make healthy choices easy and more accessible to all. Participating communities have seen double-digit drops in obesity, smoking rates, economic investment, and downtown corridors, and you can get grant funding to make healthier spaces. So I think that's sustainability, right? I mean, for us, for residents, and I encourage you to look into Blue Zone Projects, and that is encouraging. I think you guys are trying to do this, and they're doing it in a lot of communities around the United States. Dan Buettner started writing about blue zones that equals to where the longest living people live, around the world. And then he took what he learned from there and brings that back to help the citizens of the United States create livable spaces. And why do I bring that all up? My wife didn't want me to bring the rake in, but I was going to bring the rake. I mean, come on. Really? We can't rake the leaves? I mean, it's a joy with the kids, the leaf piles, jumping in, all that. And I can keep on going here. I'm just so genuinely concerned of where our community is going. Changing times, I guess, roll with it. No, we can do stuff about it, right? Like fences. I could go on in fences all the time. We didn't do any, the fences, we got barricades in the backyard. I was a big believer that kids should play with each other, running through yards. That's what it used to be when we first moved here 20 years ago. You couldn't get through one block without hitting a fence now. All right, a little off track. But the whole point is healthy choices for our residents. So, one, I think you can start, obviously, with nudging. It's all about nudging, pointing people in the right directions to make the right choices. And, again, the noise pollution, that just shuts people out from doing outside activities. You make it uncomfortable to be outside. Kids aren't going to play outside. I'm not going to be in my backyard. I'm going to be going crazy, yelling at these, these workers. So I really hope this gets you started, some thoughts to think about. And I'm going to do my research on your committee, too, because I'm interested. It seems like you guys have important stuff to going on. One thing I got to tell you, I think you guys are responsible for these big garbage cans. I don't like them. Makes us look like Schomburg or something like that. I mean, we have the garbage cans in the back. We put them in the back so we don't have to look at these eyesores. So there's a couple things. We want to keep River Forest nice and clean, looking good. So, those big cans are, down the street. I see them, in the middle of the street every day, today, Tuesday, right? Garbage pickup. It's a danger. Yeah. Keep them in the back.
Seth, you guys still there? Hello, you guys still there? Hello? Okay, I can hear you now.
You know, as you said, I think what's different this time is that the same lawn care services that service Oak Park are going to service River Forest. So if they're going to have to be replacing there anyway, then not it's not a big ask to say that in River Forest, which is, you know, about a 50. So I think that was a big concern the first time around, is the burden on lawn care services. Also, the first time we took a pass at it, we kind of got tripped up between the two different issues. I think the issue which is the most annoying to the residents is the noise and where the Sustainability Commission. But, you know, in terms of the emissions, they're absolutely horrible. You know, it's like driving a, you know, 15 minutes is like driving a car across the country. And we're not, you know, we're not capturing that in our numbers in terms of emissions and everything. But
I actually just have a question about that. It's like, is the noise different? From, I thought the noise was different from gas and electric blowers. And
yeah, gas is louder.
Gas is louder.
Yep.
Way louder. Right.
And also, they wouldn't have, you know, that big equipment that he's talking about if they weren't electric.
So when you say odd times, do you mean like are there like prior to 6 a.m. or like after 8 p.m.? And
seven a.m. Well, that occurs on my block. I just go over. I, you know, sort of say as politely as I can that we have an ordinance and I can't start till 7.
You know, there is another component of this that the commission sort of supports in its communications, which is the concept of leave the leaves, that, you know, they actually make a great form of mulch and compost. And so we run like things in the e-newsletter, especially in the fall, trying to educate people about, you know, you don't have to get it. Maybe you want to blow the bulk of them off or something, but you don't have to get like every single leaf out.
After Oak Park, along what you had said about sort of nudging and just making sure the village takes the right sort of phased in approach, I know, I believe Oak Park 5. Do you think there is some sort of interest? Very least from the village board, and then you know, there have been some of the broader environmental initiatives in the area. Planet Green and C4 have discussed a broader electrification of lawn maintenance. I actually just took a quick inventory for our public work staff what we have, and we do have a gas riding lawnmower that we bought a few years ago, but other than that, most of the equipment is all electric.
Really?
And I guess most of the maintenance crew prefer the electric chainsaws, except for like the very heavy duty stuff. We have one or two that users with on the village staff prefer the electrified, electric battery operated.
Well, one thing that came up when we looked at this last time was just the horrendous effect of on the health of the. Not surprised, you know, just in terms of noise and in terms of the particles that are being in the vicinity of their face.
Do we have any more comments on this? Gary, you have anything to add?
No, I'm having a real hard time following the conversation. It sounds pretty much in and out, so I'll pass. Other than I support.
That might be because Dan had gone away from the microphone and was sitting back down. We were just sort of having a casual conversation, so sorry about that.
Yeah, other than I'm very supportive of, you know, eliminating the noise, those types of things. I personally rake my grass with a hand rake, personally mow it with a mower. I actually push. So I personally am all in on those kinds of things.
That being said, Dan, you're welcome to stick around the rest. We've got a full agenda of items we're going to discuss. So you're You have my contact information, so don't hesitate to follow up with me. Right. Moving on to the next item of business, we have adoption of the March 14th meeting minutes. Does anybody have any edits or notes for those?
They look good to me. Do we have a quorum now?
Yes, we do.
Yep. Okay. So I move to approve the minutes.
Commissioner Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Chang?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
For voting in favor, the minutes are adopted. Now, commissioners' reports. Do you have anything?
I have a couple of things. You had reached out to commission to speak with a Concordia student about a project that they had, a journalism student. So I did have a correspondence with her. And within that, it came up a discussion about Arbor Day. And I also saw that there was a note in the newsletter about Arbor Day. But in the past, there's usually a planting on that day. And there's no mention on the website if there will be one this year. There's usually a planting of trees, like either in a park or a school, and I just wondered if you knew if anything like that was happening this year in Arbor Day.
That is a good question. This is my first Arbor Day on staff, so let me just look into it.
Yeah, because usually they publicize that. I mean, honestly, there's not much of a public that shows up, but it's just.
Yeah. So she'd emailed me, and she'd emailed Jeff Loster as well, and then we had I connected all of you, and then we'd also connected Ryan Skozik, our public works superintendent, who is more day-to-day involved in the village forestry. Hopefully he was able to provide her some useful information as well.
Good. And then I also attended the meeting today with Senator Harmon talking about the ban on styrofoam. I know there's another more appropriate way of referring to that, but we all know what styrofoam is. And I can talk about that more when it comes up on the agenda minute. And the final thing is that a resident approached me about composting for Temple Harzion, and she said that Roy Strom used to offer them composting, and when they reached out to LRS, they said they're not able to do non-residential composting. And I just wondered if the village could look into that, because that seems like a real step back from our goals and their.
And I think somebody had raised, I believe, something similar at the village board meeting last night. It was
probably Phyllis. Was it Phyllis Rubin?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Same one.
So it was after I had left. I was just there for the budget portion at the beginning. But I looked into it some, and at least on their website, they do say they serve businesses and multifamily things with composting, organic waste disposal as well. So.
Is there a follow-up call that could get them to follow through on? Because I attended all of the meetings that they hired with the village board, and it certainly never came up that they were going to stop offering the service to. I mean, I think it's particularly troubling that it was offered before, and now they're saying like no,
yeah,
because all of their commentary was about how supportive they were of composting, and this is a real step back.
I guess because they are not. On the village residential plan, did they have a composting agreement sort of privately with Strom before? And I know, I believe Roosevelt Middle School still has composting, they composting through a private arrangement. And
With LRS?
I believe so. And I believe the tennis. Okay. So I will.
Yeah. According to Phyllis, it's not an option. So, yeah, I just wondered if that was something that you could look into, which I guess you would be doing.
Yeah, it was briefly raised to me, looked in, and at least in terms of advertised on their website is they do, it listed off businesses, high-rises, presumably
they got to
fall
through.
Outside of the residential community contracts. I also just checked to sort of cross-reference some of the other waste disposal companies who may have private arrangements. Waste management offers it, Crude offers it. Most of the others licensed in the village. Three things, but at least, you know, Mud Brothers was the only sort of bigger one that's licensed locally that did not. Public serves Forest Park. They're not licensed. They also offer it for business. There are options, okay. But I can, yeah,
okay.
Look into that a little further.
Okay, so we can
get
back to her. Okay.
Yep. I think we are on to communications now. Gary, can you see my screen?
Yes.
All right. So here is the final draft webpage ready to go live. Jeff, thank you for the last section. So here is, I made a couple changes, just this sort of subheader to rooftop solar, since this was what this top section was on, framed largely in the same way the conservation and managing water portion is, and then a couple sort of FAQ sections right underneath, and then smaller sections for community solar and the green electric aggregation program, which has been the bulk of my phone calls for the past month now.
Did you check with them, and they expanded the?
Yeah, I don't
know.
Because
I just got put on it too.
A bunch of houses the first time through, like a bunch of eligible accounts the first time they.
But they have a set percentage that, like, it was supposed to be 40%, wasn't it? I mean, they can't just take over the whole village.
I honestly don't know. But. Yeah, now the ComEd notices are going out after the automatic opt-ins have occurred, and I'm getting a second wave of phone calls about those. So, but yeah, I have a broader page, and this is a fully live page with every question I've been asked on the phone.
Is that a separate page?
Yeah, this is already live. So this is just what is on the
That's where you
page.
Would go if you clicked on here?
Yes.
Got
energy rebate stuff, general electrification tips, and then village incentives, village initiatives.
What is the sort of the table of contents for this page? Like, if you go back to the does it match switch to renewable resource, reduce energy? I think you're missing village initiatives, right?
Yeah, I don't think I had added village initiatives other than the village certifications here. I just want to make sure
that the table of contents on the homepage matches the main categories.
Yeah, so I think it should have everything except village initiatives on there. I don't think I had added those to the main table of contents here. Make that addition because I think there's a couple of them that
I think it's cool that the village has initiatives under all these things.
But really the only thing needed for here is our.
Well, isn't the bicycle exchange coming up? It depends when you go live.
So
my
plan is to go live this week. So we'd need to add
so
bicycle
that
exchange
is on the 21st, and anything that you do that you discover about what the village may be doing for Arbor Day, right?
Mm-hmm. The tree planting. Another thing that could go in the upcoming green events is the Repair Cafe, which is once a month. So keep track of that.
I believe that I do have under less.
But it would, that's
just for like what day it is.
Yeah, just because I think it's hard for people to keep. Does it say under that? Does it say
it's a certain Saturday?
First Saturday.
Yeah. Each month we could just say it's on this day because it's just another way of reminding people. It's a fabulous thing. I took something in there this last one. Do you guys all know what Repair Cafe is? be taken, broken, like electronics, and they have volunteers there. And I mean, it's even good if you're going to throw something out, which I ultimately ended up doing. I did it like much more clear conscious, like I tried, this is not repairable. And
So, great thing. I don't know if, I mean, I think we don't want to clutter that section up too much, but you could put sort of a window of time for the compost delivery for compost subscribers, because that's what coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I believe we just got our first load of compost today dropped off at Public Works.
Yeah, I mean, that's up to you. It's only to a subset, but if people saw it, they'd be like, oh, that's cool. How do I do that? You know, but you just have to make it clear that it's only for compost subscribers. But if you're a subscriber and you're kind of vaguely wondering when will this happen, you know, then you could go and see. I mean, I wouldn't worry about it too much for this spring, because you'll just open the website and it's not like people are going to go. But if you're looking for things to put on it, I'm just thinking that eventually there's probably, I'm wondering if there's something broader than green events, like not just like green calendar, because eventually I'm thinking that you'll put on there things like the deadlines for signing up for the e-waste pickup, right? The deadline for sign up, and then the actual day that is going to be picked up, which is not exactly an event. So what are you guys thinking about, just kind of like green calendar or green activities? You look hesitant.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking that through, because I know coming up, I think towards the end of this month, the household hazardous waste sign up postcards will be going out, and people will have the month of May to sign up. To just sort of add that in here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it could be like green dates and deadlines or something, just something broader than events.
Yeah. Like green dates and deadlines.
Like I said, if you don't want it to get too long, you can sort of just do stuff for the next month, but thinking ahead to June, that the whole C4 event at Triton should probably be on there. Mm-hmm. You could put things on there like, whenever it is that you open up permits for signing up for green block parties. When? Did you? So does that give you some ideas of things to put in there?
Yeah, that does. I think
it's going to be great, because now I can start sending people to the website.
Is there anything for Earth Day I should add, or even just a line saying what day Earth Day is?
Sure. I mean, I think it depends on, you know, whether we want to keep it to things that are strictly river forest, or, I mean, there's probably stuff going on kind of Chicagoland, but I mean, you could just put April, is it 25th, Earth Day, and you don't have to really say anything other than Earth Day, exclamation mark.
But yeah, I think unless anyone has any thoughts, I can click through all the rest of the pages, but I think we've seen them all in their final form, aside from that one before, or those two, I guess, with the green events before. So I think we can.
Let's do it.
Move along to newsletter. Oh.
Well, before we do, what should be the cadence of coming back to this to see what updates do we need? Every 6 months?
Yeah, that's a good point, Gary.
Probably every 6 months?
Maybe,
or
like reviewing it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably once a quarter. Sorry, just going back to the calendar for a second, is the River Forest Park District is doing the Des Plaines River cleanup on April 22nd, local thing, and, you know, it does require pre-registration, so you could just link to the River Forest Park page on that, right? Because these are going to be really short entries, right? It'll just say April 22nd, Des Plaines River cleanup,
yeah,
sponsored by River Forest Park District in Lake.
Yeah, I was imagining just bullet points
along
here,
right,
and links to...
Right, so that's a local activity, so yeah. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, Gary, that's a good point. I think...
if something changes...
Monthly for updating this.
If something changes, I would think, you know, we can do that as we, you know, roll through at any time, but as more of a formal agenda item on the commission, and I would think every 6 months would be probably fine.
That's fine.
A more substantive review of the page and any updates.
I mean, I think the only reason I said quarterly is when you first launch something new, you know, if people notice things, you might want to address it more frequently, but 6 months seems reasonable too.
I think you can tweak it anytime, right? It's just a matter of making it a calendar item on the commission's agenda.
Yeah, standing agenda item. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth, sorry to pester you with one other, like, I think that, was this from last year? I don't know. Sometimes the Forest Preserves of Cook County does like a Earth Day thing at Trailside. I'll see if I can find anything about that for this year.
Moving on to newsletter, I had already started making notes. So I don't have anything yet for this week. I was thinking the website launch, but then looking back at last year's birthday post, I had sort of penciled in for next week. What we had basically used last year, pull down to it here. Reuse a lot of this text, but highlight the new webpage and show our new website outlines what people can do, take action, and have that go in next Friday's newsletter.
Next Friday as opposed to this Friday?
That because I believe it's next Saturday is Earth Day, correct?
Okay.
So I figured it to coincide with.
Sure. I would just make sure that the headline reflects something about check out the new website. I wouldn't just bury that as part of the.
On the other hand, if we put it in this week, it gives people more of a chance to, you know, check out events and everything. So
good point.
I mean, I agree that I think it's good to pair them together, but could we do it this week instead of?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know if anything else of essentially just for Earth Day for next week. And then I had.
Did you already run the Bicycle Exchange last week?
Bicycle Exchange went a couple weeks ago. I can rerun that next week then.
Well, it's on the 21st, I think. Sorry. It must be on the 22nd. I guess you could run it again on the 21st. Or is it the 20th? Do you put the newsletter out now on Thursdays?
Fridays now. Fridays. Everything is going out on Fridays. There was one of either the monthly or the weekly was going out on Thursdays last year, but now it seems.
Yeah. So, I mean, if there isn't any other content, you could run it again on the 21st, which is the day before.
And this was last year's Arbor Day post. Making sure everything is with that. And
yeah, sure. I mean, I love to see people keep doing the tree trails. It's, you know, basically an evergreen activity.
And then going forward, I looked up what last year's was for the May monthly, it was on bicycling. And then the first May weekly was warning people about the issues with volcano mulching.
Yes, can I just say that there are a bunch of volcano mulched trees on village parkways? So I'm not sure what's going on with that, because I would think that, I mean, you know, I think we have a great forestry department, and I'm kind of confused about why they do that. And that seems like
you're saying on the parkways?
On the parkways.
But the village doesn't maintain them.
The village doesn't? I thought the parkways were.
Well, they are land, but the individual homeowners decide what to do there.
Really?
Yeah.
On the sort of the east, I believe the village handles like the tree trimming, and then treatment, but the mulching might be. I can check. I'll
yeah, just check to make sure
it,
that the
yeah.
village isn't going around and doing that. I guess yeah. that makes mm-hmm. sense that it's not the village, because I would think that the forestry department knows very well not to do that. So then the question becomes, well, other than general kind of newsletter stuff, it's kind of like what the guy was saying about leaf blowing. It's not like you want to go up and knock on people's doors and say, you know, why is your tree improperly mulched? But there's a lot of improper tree mulching around the village.
I'm hoping most landscaping companies don't. So, I mean, very good landscaper, and they...
Simple thing. But anyway, so yeah, you know, rerunning something about that is good. At time of year when people have landscapers come out.
Any thoughts on the monthly?
For May.
Yeah, May. That would run.
Well, I sent a note that I thought you should show off the village's work about the permeable alleys, because all the alleys around my area are getting done. Are you almost at 100%?
Almost. I think we've got 5 left. I know one is complete. Not sure.
Okay.
I know one
well,
is
maybe you can save it for when they're 100% done.
The one under construction would be a cool picture. Sorry.
I mean, if you did it in May instead of waiting for it to be done, basically, you know, a lot of people are in the middle of it, right? So you should be, I don't know, do you need me to take a picture? There's like a lot of activity in my neighborhood.
I think that might. Work, and then everything going forward beyond there will be following next month's meetings.
Do you want me to take a picture, or you guys?
Yeah,
you guys
that would
can
be
take
great.
A picture? Okay, I think like 3 alleys around me are being ripped up. So.
Yeah, I know the one, the curved one behind
yeah.
Park is.
Yeah. Didn't you say that household hazardous waste? In May.
Oh, yes.
So that can be one of them whenever yep. this deadline is for signing up.
To, you know.
If the deadline is the end of May, you'll have to do it earlier.
To Dan's comment in his public comments, is it within our purview to put something out to remind folks? As we head into it's coming real early, you know, the landscaping season and mowing and blowing season, that we do have noise ordinance and there's time limits for when they can use certain equipment, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that would actually be a great follow-on to the public comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was public comment earlier about
yes, yep. and the noise. Mm-hmm.
There was a landscaping company on my street Sunday morning that have three machines going at
once. Well, that's something I'd suggest from a timeliness standpoint, I'd want to move that up, you know, because it's starting now.
I'll move it.
Yeah.
We could switch it. Oh, the Green Alleys is a monthly. Instead of volcano mulching?
Oh. Or instead of volcano mulching?
Do
the
volcano mulching later in the month.
Yep.
Or scrap volcano mulching, or?
You can have it there as a placeholder. Right.
But do you know, outside of the, I mean, we're saying noise ordinance, but it's really like the time of day that it can be done, which is a good reminder for everybody. But do we have any noise ordinance like Oak Park has in terms of like decibels and everything? That
I would need to look into that.
Okay. Because that would be, you know, for that same article, that same piece, it would be good to get that out as well. And I know that they're very hard to enforce, but at least it's one more.
Or, you know, if we wanted to make that even like earlier, if we think people are doing their spring cleanup now, is that could be your sort of action item on the Earth Day thing? Because remember the Earth Day listing, it had like several things like you could do this, you could do that. But one thing you could do this Earth Day is, you know,
ruin your neighbor's day.
Rake your leaves instead of blowing them, or be sure to.
Would anyone be able to write that one up then?
The noise ordinance?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that. What's the deadline?
I think get that to me next Monday. To follow up and look at what the actual ordinance says. Follow-up email tomorrow. All right, we are this for
next
month or so, and I think I've got a lot of recyclable information that I can use. And
thanks for getting creative with.
All right. So moving on, I put in 2023 commission initiatives and goals, which I know, Eric, you and I had sort of briefly touched on last time, but then I also had a whole host of other business items, one of which we've already touched on with the door ban.
This is a question for the commission, is how do we want to handle initiatives and goals? Because it feels like a meeting is not enough unless we're going to dedicate a whole. Have we done that before? We've never really had like a off meeting.
I think it has to be, because of all the sunshine things, it has to be a meeting.
Yeah, it'll have to be official. It'll have to be posted and everything.
Would it be like next month's regular monthly meeting, or would it be like...
So it could be next month's regular meeting as long as we didn't do anything else. And like, I'm totally okay with that. If we want to make the May meeting just like, obviously there has to be public comment, and then we spend 90 minutes workshopping this, like, is the only way for us, it's going to be death by a thousand cuts. We're going to like incrementally do this, you know, for the next 3 years. So I don't know what you guys think. Let me know what your opinion is on the best way to go about this.
I agree. I mean, we can't really achieve much in 15 minutes, so.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And maybe we can make a push to see if Shannon and
Stack the meeting.
Is it just Shannon who's missing tonight?
It's just Shannon.
Oh, okay.
But it would be great to get AJ here. And yeah, I mean, so we'll see if we can stack the meeting and then only agenda item. And if there's other super hot things, fine. But if not, let's push him to push.
So I will, in terms of any sort of communications for the weekly stuff, end of May and then going into June, I will see what can be reused and then see if we can just sort of hash it out with if anybody has any ideas via email.
I mean, you can certainly always reuse the bicycling thing. I wrote that last year, and it was just kind of like it's a nice time to get out, and it outlines
some
trails.
It'll be as relevant on June 1st as it would be on May 1st. So, yeah, that might be out of that.
Was the bike extension through River Forest that was discussed, like, is that like a 3-year plan, or is that something that actually?
You heard
like,
anything more on that? I don't know. I think more than 6
is
months ago.
Is this the like Des Plaines River Trail?
Yeah.
It is in phase one development.
Phase one of
stagnation. No, it is okay. Still.
Well, it needs money, and I'm sure.
Yeah,
that's...
and the sort of issue we've had is they've been starting further north and gradually working their way down. And I even looked into ITEP grant IDOT last year to sort of help with that and reached out. Jeff Loster and I had reached out to the engineering firm. I think it's Chris, a lot of work here locally with us. And they basically said that would be a great option for a, you know, local matching funding, but we're not at that point yet. But yeah, it's something we're
either dollars at all, or
I would need to look into it further. I think we'll be hopefully close to being able to sort of go after more for it.
I mean, Jeff's right. It was sounded really great. It was like this big, you know, presentation of like here's where we're going with the Plains River Trail, and then anything you find out would be helpful. If there's anything we can do, that would be awesome. I'd raise hours for planning. And all right, should we jump into other business then? I mean, we were already talking about the leaf blower ban, and I think it's worth spending a little time.
Can I come back 1 second, Eric, because I'm not sure.
Sorry,
if I'm we're gonna devote next meeting to goals.
That was kind of the head nods here. Okay. How'd that sound to you?
Well, it sounds fine. My only suggestion would be that to get anything accomplished, even in an hour or two, we probably need to walk in with something that's framed that we can all stare at and talk to versus winging stuff.
We can do that. Yep. Yeah, because we have the original work that was done, and then we have kind of an outline of current goals as I think we see it, as well as the trustees see it. So good point. We should come in prepared. That way we can make the most of the time. Beth and I can work on that offline.
Yeah. So I was thinking I could just sort of pull what, trustees had sent us, and then the old, I think it's like a document of the old stuff, and just pull sort of the relevant that outline, like every potential thing, whether it's
of our big laundry list.
I'll just make an observation. We can discuss it next time, but I think the commission should address if we are officially sunsetting some of those other programs. I mean, because the direction of the notes so far is many of those things are not mentioned, and it's fine. Those may have had their place, and now, but I think it would be nice to directly address it and make a conscious decision instead of just letting them float off, right?
That's very well said.
And I would also leverage a little bit what Oak Park did. Again, it's definitely not a plan. It's very broad, very encompassing. But because it's broad, encompassing, you know, there's some solid basic thinking in there. You just got to tie it back down to four or five things that you're at the most that you're really going to concentrate on and try and leverage then that against everything else they've got in that thing. So I wouldn't hesitate as part of that initial exercise you're talking about, Eric, just overlay that to see if there aren't some pieces we need to include.
Yeah, that makes sense, Gary. All right, any other comments on goal setting? All right, leaf blower ban. So, all right, so since we last talked, we did check in with the trustees, right, and they did say that they are interested in us doing some work on this. And we're still all trying to understand kind of what happened in Oak Park, because I don't think they've actually closed the loop on what they're doing about. I know they were going to provide subsidies for landscapers to buy new equipment and things like that, and they haven't sorted any of that out.
Yeah, that is, it's basically all we know with Oak Park is June 1, 2025. No more gas leaf blowers.
They kind of did like a shoot first, ask questions later approach to it.
Yeah.
And they admitted that.
Well, I think it's important that they have to do that because the landscaping companies and even residents are making their purchase decisions. So you need to be forward looking.
Yeah.
They said, if anything, it could be moved back up sooner. So one of the concerns in Oak Park is to work with, I forgot exactly how they refer to them, but BIPOC landscape companies, and you know, just getting the education out. And there's going to be a subsidy component since they do have deeper pockets than we do. But you know, a lot of those same companies work in River Forest as well, so we will be beneficiaries of that as well. And we do a lot of our shopping there.
We'd be hard pressed to find a company that only that doesn't do Oak Park and River Forest, you know, that works in River Forest, but
right,
not in Oak Park.
Right. So unless we want them using all of their old polluting equipment, it's, oh, good, we're going to River Forest, take out your polluting stuff.
They have a stockpile of two-stroke engines.
So, you know, I guess then we're not going to decide this all tonight, but do we have a general strategy of how to proceed with this? I mean, do we just want to suggest that we piggyback off them? And that's sort of the easiest one, and say, We agree, and we want to extend this to River Forest, or...
Yeah, and I think the other thing would be how much we want to engage with these landscaping.
Yeah.
They're all licensed with the village, so we know, you know, who the, at least from the commercial side, like Dan had raised, who the big stakeholders are, who is performing the landscaping here. Obviously, with individual residents, a little tricky, but just sort of getting that out there on their radar, like, hey, if you're planning on buying a leaf blower in the next few years, sure, it's electric, because you'll be allowed to use it if it's gas after a certain date. Those are sort of the two things to keep in mind.
Almost like what we did with the drive, you know, the single-use plastic, where we had to have a, you know, we had to engage with the community and feedback from local businesses, and I think we have to do that with landscape. Any idea how many are registered?
You know, but I'm wondering if we do, because, you know, as previously stated, these are the same players that went through this whole entire process with Oak Park. So I think that gives us a little cover to say, you know what, these are the same companies. You've heard all the education. You've had your chance to speak. You know, do we really have to start from square one?
It's more of like, I guess, a process question that maybe we need to ask Lisa Gillis, as our trustee sponsor, is like, are they comfortable with us moving forward without, you know, with skipping that kind of business feedback base? I hear you. You're right. Like, they've already been engaged in this.
And, you know, and I think another point is that the longer we discuss it, the less time we are giving the companies to adapt.
Yeah.
So we want to balance those two things.
And so then another question for Seth and the commission is, do we want to consider, right, Oak Park already has a ban on leaf blowing between
June 1st to September 31st, I believe.
That makes sense. So, and we don't have that, obviously. So, do we want like an intermediary step? Because Oak Park has had that for a while. I guess that's been on the books for a while, and now they've moved, to the kind of full ban on gas. So, we don't have to answer that now, but that's maybe something to work in as an option.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to a point of like presenting this to the trustees, is look, we can do intermediary step if we want to. Maybe that's year one, and then year two is the full ban to be consistent with Oak Park. I don't know. There's some options in there, I guess.
I also wanted to ask you, Seth, at the last meeting, you referenced that this was a goal of C4. Could you just expand on that a little bit?
So one of the sort of working groups, more specified working groups with C4 is this lawn equipment electrification, and it's a broader push to convert everything, lawnmowers, weed whackers, chainsaws, all to ship to all electrified.
Like a phase one.
Yeah. So, like that's what I sort of mentioned earlier, is I checked just what we have as the village staff itself. We have a gas-powered lawnmower that I think is only 4 years old, not very old, but essentially other than a couple heavy-duty chainsaws for serious work, electric.
So you already have electric leaf blowers?
I don't know if the public work staff uses leaf blowers. Yeah. I think they've got like one or two weed whackers and mostly.
I wonder if Park District has any, they're just using gas. Because they'd be the ones that would own leaf blowers, I would assume.
Yeah, and I know the Oak Park Park District, they've been very active in the C4 conversation because they are going all electric.
They are our rock stars.
Yeah, they've got
an example.
A trailer with solar panels on top, and inside is charging all of their batteries for all of their equipment that they can just bring from park to park.
Saving boatloads of money, too.
Yeah.
Off-grid. That's great.
Yeah, every time Chris from the Park District of Oak Park talks, it's like, oh, what are the rest of us doing?
Although I have to say we're all benefiting. So
yeah.
Thank you, Chris and Janet.
I don't, Susan, I don't disagree with you in terms of the engagement, but I also don't, it seems like if we did it promptly, engage with people who are registered, it would be, I think if this comes to the village board, that's going to be everyone's first argument. It's going to be that my, it charged more, or my landscaper is going to drop my house, or I don't want to have to deal with it. Like, why are you messing with this? And like, I think that would be a substantial step to like for the success of any program. So I guess I would be kind of curious too, because I don't know. I'm sure there are, yeah, it is a capital expense if you have to replace equipment, but it's not like, God, if they're using 20-year-old two-stroke engines anyways, that's that's an issue.
Yeah.
They've got to be replacing this stuff periodically anyways, and I don't think the cost, interested in the feedback, I guess.
Yeah.
Like it should be a hindrance.
Feeling the trustees will agree with that, because we don't want their meeting to be the one where everybody shows up. It'd be better for it to be our meeting.
Yeah, and if we have, the record of everyone who was contacted and the opportunities they had to speak publicly.
Fair point.
Do we need, like, permission from just to, like, copy their ordinance?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, there's...
Right. I mean, that's cool. Like, so do we want to go as far as having... does our county do the ordinance or village staff?
I think so. I think, yeah, we would need... It's all technically correct from
right, and it matches up with our various codes and zoning. Or with that, because I mean, we
yes.
Might as well. We know that's the direction we're going.
Right. And we just, you know, we just said we can't discuss this, so we don't want to just shelve this for 2 months. So.
Right. Because next month.
Yeah.
Would this be a goals and initiatives that would be within?
Yeah, but not a robust discussion on.
Like any sort of
flowing. Yeah.
I mean, I think we're all in fair agreement that we should proceed in some way. So I don't think we need to spend a lot of time. I think it's more just how do we go about doing it. So well, if it's something that we wanted to do right away, we could invite people to the June meeting if they have anything to say, and then following that, make a recommendation to the village.
You need what, 30 days to get notice out if there's going to be like a kind of remember with the single use plastic.
Yeah, so
there's a certain amount of time we have to give to communicate to local businesses and stuff.
That was right before I started. I started, I think, the day after the ordinance took effect. So
there is some kind of period. Let's figure out what it is, because then we can kind of reverse engineer the schedule. Because if we want the June meeting to be the discussion on this, you know, we should get the ordinance reviewed. We should check again with Lisa Gillis to make sure, like, we're directionally going the right way. And then we have the notice period. We're going to send out a letter or email to local.
I just want to say, I don't disagree with checking in with Lisa, but I don't think one trustee or even one trustee in conversation with the village president should be determining what we do and don't talk about. I mean, we have a elected, you know, we have
sure.
Elected,
so my assumption is, because Lisa's our sponsor, is that she is speaking on behalf of the trustees. Like, I'm not asking her for her personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, I'm assuming wrong,
mm-hmm.
that, like, she's representing, am I right?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
no,
I'm
she,
president to do, she
I,
is.
Expressed
interest in this to me, so I mean, I know
the way I looked at our relationship with Lisa was more that she's a liaison. Now that she says, you know, yes, talk, you know, I mean, she's not our czar. So,
no, that's true.
Yeah.
She's our liaison.
She's
yeah.
our liaison. So she's easing the conversation back and forth. But you know, again, there are seven trustees, and all of them should be able to weigh in. And the only way that we can really do that is that we make a recommendation, and they can chuck it if they want. But I don't, you know, I think if we are all in agreement on this, then
we are, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. This is more of, I guess, just a process,
just
question,
procedure,
right? It's just I don't want to have village staff and pay for village attorney to review all this stuff, and then we hear that they're not interested.
I don't think we have the.
And,
I think this has come up before. I don't think we don't have the authority to ask the
upstairs are taking these steps.
You're right. That's
got
to get approved.
Matt has gotten his full sign off.
All right,
from,
that's fair. So that's like built in automatically.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we don't. I mean, we can discuss all we want, but
right.
we can't tell the village.
We can't hire the
we
village.
We don't direct
to,
the village.
All right. Point taken.
Step one is I need to go back and see all the steps Sarah took on the single-use plastic ordinance last year, and then in that process.
Yeah, and I guess I want to interject that while, you know, we sort of are generally in agreement that we want to do something and address this issue, I'm not sure that we're, like, in agreement that, like, let's just adopt the Oak Park ordinance as it is, because I haven't even read it. Right.
Well,
so I just want to be.
And it's incomplete.
So I just want to be clear about when you say we've all agreed to do this, what are we agreeing to do? And I appreciate the idea of, you know, being very expeditious and not getting hung up. But at the same time, I do think that it should home in the big plan priorities thing, which we said we were going to discuss next month. And
mm-hmm.
so. I mean, June is fine, but it might be July, because I think if anything, we should know from a lot of things going on in the village in the past couple of months is there are residents who will have opinions about this too. I'm not sure if the Oak Park ordinance only addresses commercial use, or does it also address residential use?
I believe it's everybody.
Okay. So you have to let people have a chance to talk about it. Otherwise, Mm-hmm. We all know what's going on a bunch of different issues in the village right now, okay, where insufficient notice.
This could be a really hot issue, actually.
Yeah. I mean, there could be some, you know, and we have a case to make about the emissions and about the noise and about, you know, whatever. But that case should be made in the context of, okay, the commission and the village signed off on the strategic plan. We want to reduce emissions. This is one prong of it. Because otherwise, I don't know. You know, okay. I just don't. You want it to be successful. You don't want it to get caught up in a firestorm. And if you can lodge it within this bigger plan and that it's part of the emissions reduction and that it's part of whatever, I think.
Cart before the horse kind of thing.
I know we've got a few other items of other business here. I just wanted to hit two of them very quickly. I was just going to say for yard sign recycling, I did put notice on the website. I think we're going to try and get something up on social media if it's not up already. We've got two bins back under the station or under the train tracks for yard sign recycling. Has been some stuff put in there. One of the guys running for high school board apparently took his whole slate's signs in plastic bags and just dumped them in with the plastic bag, which can't be recycled, and then did the same with the...
Wait, so that actually should go somewhere, like on the green dates and deadlines,
yep.
Or it could... And now we're sort of starting to stack up a lot of stuff for the e-newsletter, but I myself
was
wondering...
That is likely
wondering.
Being picked up at the end of this week. I initially had it through the 14th.
Okay, so you just put it on social media.
Yeah.
So I have some signs I need to get rid of. So where is it again?
It is, so just along Central,
okay.
Directly underneath the,
train
track. Bridge over
okay,
there.
Like
so
where they usually put the wood chips and such?
Yeah. Yep.
Just
yeah.
A couple big boxes and you can
put so there's two big,
cool.
Cardboard
you.
Things on pallets. One says corrugated plastic signs only. One says metal posts only. How long is it going to be there? I initially asked for through this Friday, so they got it up last Tuesday on Election Day, and there's been...
I want to grab all the ones in Maywood next to 1,000. Okay, cool.
Other thing was, I know many of you have already signed up for compost. I think we've got, as of the end of today, 135 signups, and I think almost for the compost.
135
delivery.
Deliveries for you and your team.
Yes. And I think of the almost 500 individuals, almost 400 of them have at least seen and opened the email. So I'm assuming the rest were just not interested in receiving compost deliveries. So we just got the first load dumped off at village or the Public Works garage today, and those deliveries are going to start going out this week. Jeff, I saw you were one of the very first people to sign up. So
we had a special delivery.
I'm shocked more people haven't signed up. This is like the most exciting time of the year for
incredible.
Me.
Incredible. It's like free gold.
Yeah.
And I did confirm they are calling everyone in advance, so they should be in touch with you. I even highlighted your name or your comment in the list, so it jumps out when the crew is working their way through. But,
Well, thanks for sneaking in that question about who's sharing, which I finally had to fess up that I'm sharing.
yes.
But it'll be interesting to see that information when you
tabulate it. I did. 12 households are sharing, and there is an additional 16 total households, at least of those who have responded. 16 total neighbors for 12 of the actual subscriber account. So 16 additional people, households are composting but aren't actual subscribers. They're just using a name. That's over 500 then. It's a total. It'd be 510, 512 based on the most recent numbers I have, so.
Do we want to spend a minute on styrofoam ban?
Yeah.
Who knows what the latest is, right? Like, I know it passed House.
Yes. Well, I attended the meeting today with Senator Harmon. So.
All right, you're our subject matter expert.
I could take you up to date through 12:30 today. Yes, so it did pass the House. One procedural thing that, you know, Senator Harmon, he played his cards pretty close to his chest, but the direction of his questions seemed to, you know, show a fair amount of support on his own side, but he needs talking points to convince others that this is something that they should vote for too. So he was asking a number of questions on that. One procedural thing that he pointed out to us is that whoever originates the bill has a lot more time to educate and to get support. And he seemed to indicate that the time frame for the House to look at, for the Senate to look at a House bill was much shorter. So that makes it that much more difficult to, and you probably know more about this than
I do. Yeah, they've got, I believe, 4, maybe 5 weeks.
He made it sound like much less. Like
It would need to be out of committee within 2 weeks.
So that's what makes it kind of tough. And he was, you know, asking questions. Laura Machuk was there, which was from the Bus Cafe, which was incredibly helpful. You know, he's asking about cost differentials and different things like this. But so it seems like it could be a tough sell, but.
Any indication? I know the very opponents to the bill were the Illinois and then the American Chemistry. Was there any or any hint of negotiations, amendments to the bill, anything like that?
I don't think they're there yet. One thing that was stated was that the Illinois Restaurant Association was neutral, so that was encouraging. And I tried to look up, you know, just on Amazon because. And the cost differentials are not as stark as I would have thought. I mean, unless restaurants have access to much cheaper things. But And you know, the comment was made that there are 8 states right now that have approved this ban. Many more, I think, 200 cities. That might be a number coming from countries, but. You know, the comment was made that the more states that do this, this is what's going to drive down the cost. There'll be more alternatives, and unclear if they'll be able to convince the Illinois Senate in this pass.
Why is the Chemistry Council?
They have a lot of chemical plants that make styrofoam. So
okay, these are chemical manufacturers.
Yes. Okay. If you look at sort of the vote breakdown in the House, just to give you guys some background information, you'll see there were only a handful. It was mostly party line, but there were a handful of Democrats who voted no. They were from the Joliet area and a little bit further west in the Illinois Valley from there. Chemical plants are a big employer in that region. My dad and my brother both work at one in Morris, so. Mm-hmm.
That produces styrofoam?
No, they make plastic, but.
It would be good for them, actually. They get replaced with plastic.
Yeah, I have to replace it with plastic.
But, yeah, there's a lot in particularly that region that work in there, and then there's a lot of the building trades in that region do a lot of work in those plants.
It's complicated, I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Sort of thing. That was the one thing that stood out. Three of the 5 Democrats who voted against it or
thank you for going to that meeting.
Yeah, no, it was interesting.
Was it a like long meeting? Was it?
No.
Any of the other business we need to talk about? We talked about e-waste collection.
Is there a report or something on the quantity?
See if you guys had any feedback or input. I have not gotten a quantity yet.
Okay.
So that'll be, I think I should have those numbers.
I mean, my only feedback as a user is that, you know, the pickup time was anywhere between 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., which meant that I had to say to myself, am I going to get up at 5:30 or am I putting it out the night before and hope it doesn't rain and hope that somebody, you know, unauthorized doesn't come by and pick it up. So, that's their work schedule, right? So not to be like picky and lazy about it, but I just found that kind of a little bit of a practical issue.
And I had received just in the week as it was occurring similar feedback, particularly with the concern with the sort of scrappers, scavengers coming through.
Yeah, because in fact, they actually didn't come until like late afternoon, to the point where I think I might have called and said, are you still coming or something? So yes, just sort of sitting out there. So I don't know really what can be done about that. It made me sort of think that after a couple of years of experience with this, I would be interested in whether they find that their costs of going around and driving around and picking all these things up are any greater than running a one-day, you know, recycling event. That was the whole thing, is that we moved away from the recycling extravaganza because it couldn't be, once Julie left, it really couldn't be run on the backs of the volunteers. But in the back of my head, I'm just sort of like, I wonder.
Well,
I do have to say I attended one that the Forest Preserve ran a week ago Saturday. I don't think it was well publicized, but yeah. It looked very much like ours. It picked up all kinds of different things, mm-hmm. and I tried to encourage them to do one at Trailside.
Yeah,
it would be awesome.
It's just something to evaluate with LRS maybe in a couple years or something, like their costs of going around and having drivers and, you know, et cetera. I'm grateful to have the service, but it is something people really, they have to exert effort, right, to be like, what's the deadline to make the request? I put it in my calendar, like last time I signed up and I forgot to put it out, right? So I, like, reminded my husband to remind me, and right? It's like as an individual or something, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see the quantities, because presumably there are records from the recycling extravaganza of the quantities that were with pounds.
There
and
is,
pounds.
Because I remember us talking about those in these meetings.
Right. So it would be interesting to see, like, if the amount is comparable.
How that compares if there's, because it's curbside, there's more people participating.
Yeah. Is it more people or is it less people or is it about the same? Maybe I'm just lazy. I don't know. Did anybody?
No. I missed the first one for the same reason. I just couldn't. The onus is on us. I mean, part of it's us getting used to, you know, it. What would be cool would be to have both. So, like, have the park district do a local, you know, like, extravaganza that, you know, cause that way we don't have to run it. Sounds like they have some experience doing it and went well. And we have kind of the, that would be pretty nice offering. So for people like me that can't get my act together, I can just go on as whatever it is, mm-hmm. whatever day of the week it is.
But I guess there's no way for us to know whether scrap scavengers
are
coming by.
The way they do it in Oak Park is if you have something, you call Public Works, and then you know,
sure, it's like an arranged pickup.
Yeah.
But that's less efficient for them. I suppose one way you could get at the information about somebody has come along and scavenged it is that LRS must have a record of how many requests were made, and then they must have a record of how many pickups they did.
Yeah, and I did have a couple instances where they were scavenged, where, like, it was gone in the morning, and then in the afternoon they got a door hanger from LRS of, like, sorry we missed you. You, like, please call this to...
Yeah.
Be care if it's scavenged, though?
Yeah, well,
that's like
because then they're going to
chuck
the rest of it in the landfill, right? They're going to take...
Maybe we can save a bunch of money, just put all our stuff up, and scavengers can...
I don't know. I think that's, especially as it becomes like a routine and a pattern, and then people know, well, that's the day when everybody's going to put their stuff out.
And
right?
Yeah. And the one issue is I had one individual whose stuff got scavenged, and they had an old computer out, and he's like, you know, I'm pretty sure I erased everything from the hard drive and wiped it all, but I'm just never sure. You know, I'm never 100% certain, where they know it's a,
that's,
you know,
fair
entity that's licensed to dispose of this versus...
Right.
Somebody coming along in a truck.
Right. Yeah, and I'm being facetious. I realize that it's going to get properly recycled if a professional does it. The scavenger who's probably going to throw half of it away after they go through everything. Anything else on that? I know we're We're getting on time.
No, I was just wanting to hear your guys' sort of thoughts and experience with that. So
seeing the numbers will be helpful for sure.
Yeah.
Not that we have context, but it'll be good good to see.
Yeah, I'm with you where I missed the first one, even though I had a bag full of stuff. And then this time I remembered, and I could see it over a couple of years. Then you're like, oh, when it's coming and not to put your stuff.
Got to be less lazy. I was late again. So Huskies.
After the minutes without you.
Perfect. All right, the next meeting is scheduled for May 9th.
So what I will, we'll just have a packet together for goals and initiatives next week, and then I will probably even just like hold off on even like the waste numbers and everything else.
Yeah, don't even bother.
For the June meeting.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. Minutes, all of that, we'll just save for June so we can call to order, see if there's any public comments, work next month.
So to Gary's point, like we'll get some, get stuff sent out, like Seth just said, if everybody could do a little bit of homework and kind of read up and prep a little bit. Then the other thing unrelated that I'll throw in is, again, if you know people that would be good commissioners, feel free to reach out to them directly. We have a document that also describes what the responsibilities of the commissioner are that you can give to them. I sent that to Beth once when she was talking to somebody. So reach out to your contacts. It's an opportunity. You know, we need we need to get some more commissioners working. It'll help a lot.
And one last reminder for everyone. Gary, I don't believe this applies to you since you started this calendar year, but everyone else should have received an email about completing the statement of economic interest.
I think Gary
I got that.
You did get that?
Yep.
All right. All right. You got three. So just make sure you fill that out and complete it. Matt had emailed me this afternoon about that. I know you've completed yours.
Yeah, I did mine.
I don't know if outstanding for the moment. If you did not receive it, let me know.
And I'll point out tactfully, because this is on the record, that you know, you obviously have to fill it out truthfully, but it's not asking you for your entire financial portfolio. So take the questions literally, you know, which is what kind of securities do you have, like stocks, bonds, mutual funds. They're not asking for, like, you know, they want a list of every mutual fund that you own. Unless you have over 10,000 funds. All right. Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, just one quick question.
Yeah,
Seth, did you say you do have applications for the commission?
Yeah, that's what I had been indicated to me, is that there had been applications that came in. Made a comment to Matt and I of, we don't need any more advertising the application in the newsletters.
Really?
Because
oh,
a number of them had come in.
I had no idea.
Neither did I.
So
I believe. So,
okay.
So how? What happens next with that? I know it's a presidential appointment, so does she just do it? Or
yeah, but we need to intervene, so I'm glad to hear that. Not intervene. So it is the president's, you know, responsibility and duty and right to choose them, but I think, you know, we can help.
Okay. We'll let you follow up on that.
Yeah, I'm going to follow up on that.
Right. With that, motion to adjourn.
We have a second?
I second.
Mary and Jeff second.
My pen was closer to Jeff, so he's the second. Chairperson Simon?
Yes.
Commissioner Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Chang?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
We are adjourned.
All right, thanks, everyone. Gary, feel better.
Thanks.